like to say something tonight about how to be pretty. I actually entitled this talk, Little Bunny Foo Foo and the Betsy Bugs. There's something about humans that want to be pretty, is there not? There's huge industry built around being pretty. Jillions of dollars are made and lost to try and be pretty. And so I'm interested in us being pretty tonight. But I've got to decide what pretty is. Now, if you take little bunny Foo Foo and take a look at that little guy, he's got a little fuzzy tail and little ears that wiggle back and forth and his whiskers go cute. And you look at him and say, boy, that's the cutest little thing. And almost nobody would say that a little bunny is ugly. They're mostly pretty. So it's pretty easy to recognize a pretty little bunny. But what about our poor little old Betsy Bug? I looked up Betsy Bug on the internet today just so I won't misrepresent him. He's a bed bug. You've heard the phrase, crazy as a Betsy Bug? Well, some people heard crazy as a bed bug, but I don't know really where that came from. But a bed bug, a Betsy Bug, I looked at him and sure enough, he's ugly. He's a little bitty old guy, about a little smaller than an apple seed. And the main thing he does is he climbs up on the ceiling and drops down after he discovers heat coming from somewhere. And he drops down on you and crawls around till he finds a spot where he can stab you. And he's got two little stabbers, and one of them injects an anesthetic, and the other one sucks your blood. And the anesthetic's where you designed so you can't tell he's sucking your blood. And he'll do that and leave big bumps on you. Well, but somebody thinks the Betsy Bug's pretty. They have to. Otherwise, how are they going to have baby Betsy Bugs? So what is pretty? I have a wood yard, and last year we had an infestation of fleas. It's because I think the dog kennel was close. But I walked out in that wood yard, and I had a moment of horror because fleas were jumping on me like popcorn. It scared me there were so many fleas there. So I developed a campaign against fleas. I got myself all kinds of sprays, and I got some foggers, and my number one job in life was to kill those fleas. Well, I fogged up one stable that had three sides to it, but it's open on one side, so I picked a quiet day, and I fogged up this stable. I walked in there the next day, and man, there were dead, you look real close, but there were dead fleas, dead spiders, dead wasps, dead cockroaches, everything's dead. But don't you know one of those little old fleas' wife was sitting under a log somewhere saying, now why don't he come home? Or at least write. Somebody thinks a flea is pretty. And like a lot of people like wolves. Wolves are pretty. But what about the 10,000 field mice he eats during his lifetime? Are they pretty too? You can go on and on and on. You know, you can be watching a pretty bird and get bit by a mosquito and want to kill the mosquito. So what is the qualitative difference between something that's pretty and something that's not pretty? And furthermore, how do I get pretty? That's what I really want to answer tonight. Well, beauty actually is in the eye of the beholder. And you've heard that probably before. It's like a little old guy brought his teacher a rose and had a sweet little poem with it. Said, teacher, this flower will fade and die, but you, dear teacher, will smell forever. That is so funny. I was at Harding, and I thought that I was a pretty good judge of pretty women. Now, almost every guy in here could say that women are pretty. All right, we can universally agree on that. And I was a good judge of pretty women. In fact, I married one as my first wife. In case you're visiting, I'm still married to I'm still married to the first wife. But there was a girl there. Before I was dating Lindy, I was on the search for pretty women. And I thought I kind of knew what they looked like. But there was a girl in our Bible class who undoubtedly was the ugliest girl I've ever seen in my life. No question about it. She couldn't help it, but she was ugly. And I got to thinking, now how's she going to get a date? I think she went through a long time without getting a date, but she was genetically engineered to not be pretty. And I think it's pretty well agreed upon by all the guys. She married a blind man. That is the truth. I think his name was Mike. I think her name was Jennifer. Now, she got a date, and she married somebody who thought she was pretty. Well, this stuff has made me take another look at what pretty actually is. Some ugly people are really delightful to be around. Have you ever been around some ugly people who are really fun to be with? And some real pretty people are horrible to be around. Well, so what's pretty? I got an insight into this at the flea market in Crossville, Tennessee a few years ago. In the Cumberland Mountains of Tennessee, it's a stretch of mountains that goes from Kentucky to Georgia and cuts right through Tennessee, and I spent most of my young life on top of those mountains. And ginseng grows in those woods and has for, people been digging it for about 300 years, and so there's not much of it, and it's kind of rare. But I spent a good number of hours and days and months in the woods digging ginseng and selling it. I was at the flea market one time, and ginseng looks like every other plant in the woods. You can't hardly tell it apart from anything else. But I was listening to a guy talk about ginseng at the flea market in Crossville, Tennessee. He said it's the prettiest plant in the woods. Well, it does have a pretty little old red berry ball on it in the fall, and its leaves turn pretty and yellow like a hickory leaf. But it looks just exactly like Virginia creeper. It looks a lot like a baby hickory tree. It looks a whole lot like a baby chestnut oak tree, and you can't even hardly recognize it when you see it unless you've just done it a lot. But here this guy is saying it's the prettiest plant in the woods. And I got to thinking, it is not. I've dug a bunch of it, and that is not the prettiest plant in the woods. There's a bunch of them prettier than that. But I finally understood what he was saying. Ginseng sold for about $300 a pound for the root. That made it pretty. Well, it got me to understanding a little bit about what pretty actually is. Pretty is in the eye of the beholder, but generally, that which is precious to us becomes beautiful to us, does it not? That which is precious to us becomes beautiful to us. It's like the little skunk family walking past the paper mill. You know how paper mill smells? Make your eyes water and your nose run. They're walking past one pretty spring day, and a baby skunk in the back raised up on his hind legs, smelled the air. Said, "Mama, what is that smell?" And Mama said, "Well, I don't know, son, but we have got to get some of it." That is so funny. That which is precious to us becomes beautiful to us. But if we depend on physical perfection, okay, you go home and look at yourself in the mirror tonight. If we depend upon physical prettiness, most of us are not going to get to first base. Some of us will hit a home run, but how long is your home run going to last? You get yourself 40, 50, 60 years on yourself, and tell me your parts don't quit working on you. How long does the physical pretty last, and how deep does it go? There might be more to pretty than just physical pretty. I think, guys, we need to be precious, not just pretty. and that'll make us pretty. Here's what God thinks is pretty. Psalm 149:4. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. What makes you pretty? The salvation of God makes you pretty. Listen to this. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is pretty to God. You talk about a beautiful woman? 2 Peter. 1 Peter 3:25, I think. 2 through 5. Listen to what God thinks is pretty. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. There's a beautiful woman. And a neat thing about it is that beauty doesn't go away when you turn 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80. It's an unfading beauty. Well, the neat thing about God's kind of beauty is we can all do it because it's not genetic. We can all do it because it is a relationship with God that makes us beautiful. It's the preciousness, the precious value that we are to God that makes us beautiful. The most precious thing to God, as demonstrated in the Bible, was Jesus. That was His most precious thing. So in terms of how we identify beauty here, I'm going to say Jesus is beautiful. But listen to this. 1 John 3:2. Bryce read it a minute ago. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We know that when He appears, we'll be like Him, because we'll see Him as He is. We're guaranteed to be beautiful. Now, isn't that a thought? We'll be like Him, because we'll see Him as He is. But it's a process. It's like bread. When does bread really become bread? You know, if you have a pretty little croissant on a plate right here, it's all glazed and got jelly on it, it's really pretty. When did that become bread? Was it bread when it was still flour? Was it bread when it was the goo that you mix up? Was it bread while it was in the oven but was still sticky? Or was it bread only after it gets done in the oven and you take it out and eat it? That's a good question. That's a pretty serious question. When does bread become bread? Well, you could ask the baker, and he could tell you. And most of the bakers would tell you it's bread all along. It's just not done yet. When we take it out of the oven and say, well done, then it's done. But until then, it's not done. It's still cooking. And lots of times it's got some unattractive parts to it. You know what I mean? Eat a half-done cinnamon roll, get stuck to the top of your mouth. It's not good. It's not good. Some unattractive parts to it. Well, I submit to you guys that we're guaranteed to be beautiful and we're on our way, but we still got some sticky parts to us that don't taste very good and that aren't as pretty as they're going to be. But we're in a good process. And it's only when Jesus looks at us and says, well done, that's when we're going to be done. Until then, we're still in the oven cooking. It's a process. But What a neat process, though. 2 Corinthians 3:18. If you have a Bible, let's turn to that. Moses got the Ten Commandments, and when he came back down off the mountain, his face glowed. Y'all remember that? His face was shiny with the shininess of God on it. And he put a veil over his face, not to hide the people from the shine, but to hide himself from the fading of the shine. The shine started fading away, and Moses put a veil over his face to keep the people from seeing that. Am I right? Is my memory correct on that? Well, Paul is making a point right here about this shiny face and this glory that Moses had when he was in the presence of God. And here, listen to what he says about us. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That word transform, it's like metamorphosis, like a worm crawling up a pole and turning into a butterfly. That's what's happening to us as we look at Jesus. So we're becoming more and more beautiful. Has nothing at all to do with physical beauty. Has nothing to do with what skin color you have or anything. It's an inner beauty that's unfading, and it's the way God designed us to be. And that's happening to us as we live right now. We won't all be totally transformed until we see Jesus, but we're on our way right now. The Velveteen Rabbit said it like this. Velveteen Rabbit's a little book, children's book. But it's about partly about some stuffed animals talking to each other. And here was what one of them said. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Well, real isn't how you're made," said his friend Skin Horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. It doesn't happen all at once. You become. It takes a long time. Generally, by the time you become real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand." Why did blind Mike think that ugly Jennifer was pretty? I think I know. I think he's the only one who could really see her. Now, isn't that a thought? Now, look. You guys are pretty. It's because God said you are. And whether you think you're a little bunny foo-foo or whether you think you're the little Betsy bug, it doesn't matter, because God calls you beautiful. And when He makes something pretty, you really are pretty. Let's stand and sing.